The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org. So maybe I would like to say this, something here at the beginning, to express my solidarity with the Black Lives Matter. And to also say that I'm finding my way with this, how what to share and how to talk about it in a way that's helpful and supportive. And one thing that I'll share now is that I'm discovering, I think probably as all of us know, that deep listening is an integral part of for all of us to find our way. To listen deeply, not just in some casual offhand way, but to listen in a way that helps support our finding a way forward. Because when we hear the news, there's this natural idea of what can I do? What can I do that can make a difference? And this is one thing we can do. We can listen deeply to others, and we can listen deeply to ourselves. So what do I mean by this idea of listening deeply? So listening, we could make this distinction that listening is a little bit different than hearing, whereas listening is more of an active, deliberate activity, something that we cock your ear towards in some kind of way. Whereas hearing doesn't require any effort. It just happens. In fact, I don't even know if it's possible to not hear, provided we have working ears. So this distinction between hearing and listening. Hearing is just the sounds mechanically, I guess, hitting our ears. Whereas listening more is an intentional activity, something that we are turning towards or placing our attention on. And noticing the difference between these two activities, between hearing and listening, can be a great support, not only for deep listening, which I'm going to talk about, but also just to get some awareness or some familiarity with the different ways attention works. How there might be just a more of a receptive way if we're just hearing, and then there can be more of a focused way that we're listening. And of course, this we just go back and forth naturally without any effort. But just to notice that our attention has a number of different modes in which it works, and noticing the distinction between hearing and listening, which is similar to the distinction between seeing and looking. I think the physical parts, right, are still the same, all the same, between hearing and listening and seeing and looking. But it's what the mind is doing. It's how we're using attention. And so having this distinction between hearing and listening allows us to choose one over the other. And deep listening is a way that we can show up for others. Can listen in a way that shows respect and that shows care so that others feel seen and heard. I think we all have this experience of somebody who's not really paying attention to us. Maybe we're on the phone and they're preoccupied doing something. We don't know what they're doing, but maybe they just respond with a little, on occasion or... And contrast that when we feel like somebody just kind of like really like is paying attention to us, is looking at us directly. And we feel like, oh, okay, this person's really paying attention. It's a very different experience. So to listen deeply is to allow others to have that experience of really being heard. Or maybe even also being seen, as the case may be, if you're doing it in person. So we listen deeply, not only so others can feel like they're being heard, but so that we can hear what they're really saying. Of course, there's the part of saying, hearing what the actual words are, but also to hear what is not being said, what's in between the lines, what is underneath what's being said, and importantly, what's not being said. If we're just kind of casually listening, we might just hear the words and not really hear what's underneath. Of course, there's this stereotypical thing that somebody might say, and where we're not hearing what's underneath, somebody might say, "Do I look okay wearing these clothes?" And of course, the response is, "Yes, you look fine. You look lovely," whatever the response might be. But if we're listening deeply, we might hear that underneath that is a question. Do you still love me? I feel nervous about this outing we're about to do this evening, or I don't know what it might be. There's a whole number of different things that are underneath this. But to listen deeply is to hear part of what we what we think is being underneath there. We might not know until we engage or listen a little more fully, but to listen deeply is to hear what's being said in addition to just the words. And maybe to engage the person from that place. So to have an openness, an inquiry, a gentle inquiry question of what are the needs that are being expressed by this person, so that we might understand them better, and so that we might be able to show up for what's for them better, and to show up in a way that is really can be supportive and helpful, and not only for that individual, but for our relationship. Even if it's just a casual relationship, not that we have to, you know, have deep, intimate relationships with everybody we meet, but we can treat everybody with respect and to be able to hear what they're really saying. So some of the qualities of deep listening is to be generous. That is, giving people the benefit of the doubt. If we're not quite understanding, or sometimes we hear people that say the wrong, mix words. They say the word red when they were just earlier talking about something, they were making the distinction between red and blue, and we just give them the benefit of the doubt. Oh, they probably meant the blue one when they were talking about the red one. That's a silly example, but to give them the benefit of the doubt, and to be generous in our assumptions about what we think are the needs that are being underneath what they're saying, as well as to be generous with our time, to really pay attention to what they're saying, as opposed to, you know, this kind of thing, right? Looking at our watches, literally or figuratively. So part of this being generous when we're listening deeply to others also has in it implicit this trust that whatever others are saying, and whether they're articulating it well or not articulating it well, whether it's being said poorly and maybe it's a little bit not straightforward, and sometimes we might lose our way, but to trust that whatever they are saying comes from something that's true in their experience. That it comes from them. And to have this generosity of spirit to trust that this is, they're trying to express either a need or something that's true in their experience. And if we come from that place, as opposed to an idea of thinking that, oh, I already know, what you're saying, and I don't really need to pay attention anymore, or to be dismissive of what they're saying. Surely they don't have those feelings. They can't be afraid of that. Spiders are just these little creatures with six little legs. It's silly. But instead to actually hear, to be kind of have this trust that, yes, they are talking about something they're afraid of, even if we don't share this fear of spiders when they're talking about spiders. It comes from their experience. So, of course, also deep listening is a part of but being having some empathy, having a sense, kind of feeling what they're feeling without our getting lost in it, while we still remain some balance and some seeing the big picture, perhaps bigger picture, but still feeling like, yes, I can see if you have a fear of spiders, it is difficult to go into the room where they are. If you have, there's so many things that we're afraid of. I'm using spiders because it's a stereotypical one. But you can insert whatever fear that somebody close to you has that you don't quite understand. Maybe you have some of your own that you don't understand. For me, I have to say that spiders, I'm getting much better, but I still have a little bit of unease, let's say that. So without getting overwhelmed, without getting out of balance, can we have some empathy for what others are expressing, what they're sharing? Even if for us, it doesn't seem like the same level of concern as they're expressing to us. So in this way, we can create a sense of safety for them and to allow them to find their way with what they're sharing with us. And this is what we really want. Some deep listening that is supportive and allows others to find their way. I think we all have this experience too of sometimes maybe we don't understand ourselves or understand our own thinking until we find ourselves talking about it. Here at IMC, we often, and we still are doing this too on Zoom, we often encourage people to get into small breakout rooms and to discuss a topic with this recognition that it's not until sometimes you speak about things that your thoughts kind of get collected or you get organized in some kind of way, or maybe you hadn't even put some energy towards your thinking. So deep listening is helping to create the conditions in which others can speak in a way that feels supportive and that they might find something new, that they might find some new understanding or a way forward that perhaps they hadn't seen before, or maybe a greater self-understanding, or maybe just a simple moment of ease. Like, yes, this person hears me or sees me. So part of deep listening can be to ask honest questions. So what do I mean by honest questions? These are questions where you really don't know the answer. And they're intended to help the other person. An honest question could be something like, well, what have you done other times when you felt this way? When you were, can you tell that I just saw recently a spider, so I was going to say a spider thing. What have you done in the past when there was a really big spider that you felt some unease around? As opposed to this type of a question that's like, don't you think you're a little bit old to be afraid of spiders? Or how much bigger do you think you are than spiders? So an open question, an honest question, as opposed to kind of a question that has an agenda or is a can be a little bit manipulative in it, you know, the one that has a little bit of shaming in it. But to ask questions that allows people to draw on to some kind of maybe some wisdom that they have or some experience that they have. Or maybe to draw them out of their immediate experience if it's a troubling one. I know it can be easy to think that to be a deep listener means that you have to be hanging on every word that they're saying and to really be taking it in. And I wish I remember where I read this. But I read this article that was about listening, and they had this great analogy. They said that instead of this idea that you have to be a great sponge, you have to like absorb whatever the other person is saying, it's better to be a trampoline. That is, to be a place where somebody could bounce ideas off of, where they feel safe to explore some new things or some new thinking if they want to. And in such a way, just like a trampoline kind of allows somebody to bounce, but then you can jump higher when you're with a trampoline. So maybe allows the other person, if you're a deep listener, allows the other person to reach new heights, so to speak, or to try new things that you can't do when you're not on a trampoline. Maybe do some flips. But I like this idea of being a trampoline because it's also not so passive. Of course, right, we have a whole range of conversations. So some of them are just the person who's delivering our food or our groceries, or if we're doing some shopping, the person that's handing us our goods or that we're interacting with. Maybe we're not having all these different aspects of deep listening to them. Or maybe we're just listening to what we hear somebody on the TV say, somebody in the news, or maybe an interview with somebody. Or maybe we have one of our partners or a family member, somebody that we care about. Or we have a whole different range of conversations and different ways in which we can show up with our listening. But that's part of what deep listening is about. It's about being present and cluing into what's appropriate. What's appropriate for that whatever interaction that we're having. As opposed to having this automatic response for everybody. Maybe for some conversations it's appropriate that we're saying, "How are you? Fine." You know, maybe it's in that interaction, the person that was asking us that what was indicating that this was just a social nicety and it wasn't a real conversation. But maybe are times when people are asking or we're asking and there's a sense of care of really wanting to know. So to listen when people are asking us, "How are you?" For us to know what's the type of conversation that's appropriate here, as well as for us to listen to ourselves. What kind of a conversation is appropriate for us right now? That is, can we listen deeply to ourselves? If we are in a conversation or about to start one, can we feel the impact of what others are saying in ourselves? Can we feel our feelings without being dismissive of them, but at the same time, if our intention is to really be showing up for the person that we're having this conversation with, can we have respect for our experience? And if it's appropriate at that time, if it's our intention, to bring our attention back to the conversation, back to what the other person is saying. Kind of this going back and forth, checking in with ourselves. So deep listening to others doesn't mean that we completely abandon ourselves. We can do deep listening for ourselves too. So rather than drifting off in thought or completely disconnecting from the other, we can listen to ourselves, which of course is the foundation for empathy. How we can feel what the other is feeling, but without getting overwhelmed or out of balance. And part of deep listening to ourselves is to gently inquire, what are our intentions? Are we aware of our intentions? What is underneath our listening? Are we listening just so that we can get our needs met, and so that we're listening just in a way that we're trying to find that opening when they've finished saying what they're going to say? So our intentions are rarely pure. They're often a mixture. But the more that we become aware of what they are, then we can align ourselves with those intentions that are more deeper and sustaining, as opposed to falling prey to just our conditioning. Part of all of us have this conditioning of wanting to be right, wanting to get our way, wanting to be viewed positively, wanting to remain comfortable. And if we allow those to be the most important intentions that we have, and we aren't listening to some of our deeper intentions of wanting to care for others, wanting to support for others, then we won't be listening deeply. We will be dismissive of others, or we will interrupt others, or not give them the space to say what they need to say. So if we want to be part of the solution and want to work together with others and want our actions and our words, our speech, to be born out of our wisdom and out of our compassion, part of listening deeply is also listening to our intentions and gaining some familiarity with our intentions so that we can tune into those that are helpful and supportive without disowning parts of ourselves, without trying to squash parts of ourselves, but more honoring those intentions that we know from our own experience are onward leading and arise out of some wisdom. And of course, listening deeply to ourselves includes noticing any unconscious bias we might have. What are the ways in which we might be unknowingly harming others? Unconsciously. We don't intend to, but maybe kind of listening to ourselves is a way to just notice. Are there some ways that our conditioning is influencing the way that we show up for others? And can we make space for this, for the pain and the maybe even the horror if we discover that we have unknowingly caused harm to another with our speech, or maybe not by listening deeply, by being dismissive and not really hearing what they were saying, thinking that we knew better, or not caring enough to listen, really listen. Again, can we make space for that without suppressing or disowning? And as best we can we hold it with tenderness and listen to our own experience, not in a way that we become overly self-involved, especially if we're still in conversation with somebody? But part of listening deeply is to listen to others and to listen to ourselves, including some of these painful things. So, of course, deep listening is a mindfulness practice. It's a way in which we, when we're listening, we just very gently, when we notice that our mind has wandered, we just very gently bring our attention back to what the other person is saying. Or if we're doing deep listening to ourselves, coming back to our own experience. In some ways, deep listening is an embodied experience, in the same way that mindfulness is embodied experience, that we're here completely with what's happening. So just as though in the same way that mindfulness practice can help us with listening practice, so practicing listening is a way that can support our mindfulness practice too. Really being present for what other people are saying, their words, as well as what's not being said. As well as when we're in conversations, to intentionally choose when to speak and when to listen. This is another way in which there's mindfulness, is to be present for our conversations and to not just follow our habits into more speaking, or to notice if we have this compulsion to want to interrupt. It's a great mindfulness practice to be really choose to when we're going to speak and to allow some space. Maybe there's some moments, a little bit of silence. Allow everybody in the conversation to check in with themselves. And of course, a big part of mindfulness practice is to become more aware of our inner experience. So I talked earlier about knowing our intentions. That's a big part of our inner experience. But mindfulness practice is also about learning our thoughts and learning our emotional life. And in these ways, it can really support us. Mindfulness practice can help us support with listening, but in some ways, listening and mindfulness are the same. Just noticing what's happening with ourselves and noticing what's happening with others. So that in this way, we can be part of the change that we wish to see in the world. We can help others feel respected. We can help others feel like they've been seen and heard. And allow voices that perhaps haven't had an opportunity to be heard clearly before to deeply listen to those voices. And to listen to ourselves. Listen to ourselves with warm-heartedness and spaciousness and kindness, so that together we can find our way forward. So together we can end the oppression and these terrible, terrible injustices that are happening. So may our practice together support all beings without exception. Thank you.